killers, murderers, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, 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 and welcome back to Decoding Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with
Glory.
That's correct. And today we have another serial killer on our hands yet again. But before we get into that, I wanted to speak to you guys. You know, I've been obsessed with prisons lately. And we've recently got a new Minister of Correctional Services, and so they've like put a they did a raid of one of the prisons in South Africa. But apparently the reason the raid was actually caused is because one of the prisoners downloaded social media and then posted this video of how easy prison life is, like 3 meals a day, PlayStation. And so they ended up doing this raid of the prison, and when I could tell you the stuff that they found is actually, it's shocking. They found PlayStations and phones and laptops, and not like a few. Like, when they were finished, they were like piles of cell phones on the floor, which I think is so crazy. So, I mean, and there's no way, for example, to get contraband in. I understand that there is like sneaky ways that it's done, and a phone is something small, but a whole PlayStation.
Like, I just think they must let the guys live their lives.
For murder and rape and arson and thievery, they must sit all day and play PlayStation. That's a punishment. That for you, sir, would be luxury. No, you know it would be luxury. In your little heart of hearts, you know that would be your dream.
Honestly, not really, no.
Is it? Anyway, so I was very fascinated to see if they're going to continue these raids. They found makeup kits, but it was a male prison, so I was a little bit confused.
Okay.
I was kind of like, what's going on? But yeah, even the guy was like, why is this here? I saw a video of the guy. He was like looking through the makeup box and he's like, why is this here? This is a men's prison. So, and yeah. They even found TVs.
Well, there's PlayStation, so surely there's TVs.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I suppose how would they... Here's a picture of the TVs that they found.
Oh, okay.
There's literally videos of, like, them searching all the people, and, like, what they did is they also took all their mattresses out and laid them out and then stomped on all of them. So that if there was anything inside, it would break.
Yeah.
And they also found, like, lots of... They had a name for it. I can't remember, but it's something you smoke. It starts with an R, but I can't remember. They found lots of that and just a whole bunch of illegal contraband. So I'm not keen, but I'm interested to see if they continue this and start going through all our prisons. Because I know our new minister of correctional services seems to be locking down on the prisons and the prisoners' lifestyle. So I suppose we'll see in upcoming months. But that's not who we're talking about today. We are talking about Edmund Kemper, who was a serial killer in Santa Cruz, California, and killed 6 young women and several of his family members. So Kemper was born on December 18th, 1948 in That is the day before my grandmother. Literally the exact day, because she was also born in 1948.
Oh, wow.
So, in Burbank, California, and was the middle child of E.E. and Carnell Kemper. After his parents divorced in 1957, he moved in with his mother and his 2 sisters in Montana. Kemper had a difficult relationship with his alcoholic mother, as she was very critical of him and he blamed her for all of his problems. When he was 10 years old, she forced him to live in the basement away from his sisters because the mother feared he would harm them.
That's interesting.
So signs of trouble began to emerge at an early age, as Kemper had a dark fantasy life, sometimes dreaming about killing his mother. He cut off the heads of his sister's dolls and even coerced the girls into playing a game which he called Gas Chamber, in which he would have them blindfold him and lead him to a chair where he pretended to wither in agony until he died. I'm sorry. Like, it's one thing to play mommy, daddy, make-believe Barbies. It's another thing to play, like, Nazi gas chamber. You know what I'm saying? His first victims were family cats. Atenny buried one of them alive. And the second, at 13 years old, he slaughtered with a knife. Okay, honest, like, opinion, right? If your child does this, do you, like, what do you do? But you know, it's a genuine thing, because this is genuine signs of psychopathy. Like, what do you do?
Take them to a church and you lock them.
Like, because I mean, if you take them to the doctors, they're going to put them on the most whack meds, which I don't trust. But also, your kid is cutting heads off cats. He went to live with his father at the time and then ended up back with his mother, who decided to send him to live with his grandparents in North Fork, California. Kemba hated living with his grandparents, and it was on a farm. And before going, he already began learning about firearms. But his grandparents took away his rifle after killing several birds and other small animals. On August 27, 1964, Kemba finally turned his blinding rage to his grandparents, the 15-year-old. Okay, 15 years old. I mean, what were you doing at 15? 15. School. Grade 8. Is that grade 8? You turned 15 in grade 8. Yes.
I don't know.
I'm lying. It's grade 9.
Yeah.
It's grade 9. Grade 9, I was too busy worried about my subject choice. Never mind killing my grandmother. Because he killed her in the kitchen after an argument. And then when his grandfather returned, Kemper went outside and shot him in his car and hit his body. Afterward, he called his mother and who told him to call the police and tell them what happened. Later, Kemper would say that he shot his grandmother, and I quote, to see what it felt like. That's messed up. That's really messed up. He added that he had killed his grandfather so that the man wouldn't have found out that his wife had been murdered. For his crimes, Kemper was handed over to the California Youth Authority, where he underwent a variety of tests which determined he had a very high IQ, but also suffered from paranoid schizophrenia. That's when you, like, see and hear things that, like, aren't there.
Yeah.
Kemper was eventually sent to Atascadero State Hospital, which is a maximum security facility for the mentally ill. I honestly couldn't think of any worse place to work. No, I don't know if I have the strength to work there. Like, you, not only are these mental people, but they're mental convicts. I mean, they're criminally insane, and you're feeding them breakfast.
Well, you're giving them breakfast, not feeding.
Yeah, I know, but like, I can just imagine, you know, when you watch the movies and in, like, those mental asylums, you just hear the screaming and the, I think it's
That's just in the movies.
I don't know, though.
It's always like that.
I do know someone who was in a mental facility for 3 weeks, and he said, like, he was in the minor section, so for the kids, there were places they could not go because the adults were too dangerous. The adults would attack them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dangerous to work there. Oh, no, thank you. I'm fine. I'm really fine. In 1969, Kemper was released at the age 21. Despite his prison doctor's recommendation that he does not live with his mother because of her past abuse and his psychological issues with her, he rejoined her in Santa Cruz, California, where she had moved after ending her third marriage, to take a job with the University of California. While there, Kemper attended community college for a time and worked a variety of jobs, and eventually finding employment with the Department of Transportation in 1971. Kemper had applied to become a state trooper, but was rejected because of his size, as he weighed 300 pounds and was 6 feet 9 inches tall. How tall is that?
That's very tall.
Like, compared to the door? Taller than the door?
No.
What's the door's height?
I don't know.
What are you?
I'm like 6 foot or 6 foot one.
What? 9 inches taller than you? That's crazy stuff. What? And 300 pounds. How much is 300 pounds?
I don't know. It's probably in the...
in kilos.
Yeah, it's...
I'm Googling. 300 pounds in kilos. Sorry, we don't have the American system. 136 kilos. Oh, that's not too bad.
Not too bad.
That's like two of me. Two and a half of me.
Almost kind of makes sense with the height.
Wait, let's see the height. So 6'9" in centimeters. 205 centimeters? What? What? That's madness. Yeah. Okay. And it actually made him get the nickname Big Ed. However, he did hang around some Santa Cruz police officers who gave... one gave him a training school badge and handcuffs, while the other let him borrow a gun, and Kemper even had a car which resembled a police cruiser.
Interesting.
The same year he began working for the highway department, Kemper was hit by a car while out on a motorcycle. My guy has had a rough life, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
His arm was badly injured, and he received a $15,000 settlement in a civil suit he filed against the car's driver. Unable to work, Kemper turned his mind towards other pursuits. He noticed a large number of young women hitchhiking in the area. In a new car he bought with some of his settlement money, Kemper began storing the tools he thought might be needed to fulfill his murderous tendencies, such as a gun, knife, and handcuffs.
Hmm.
At first, Kemper picked up a female hitchhikers and then let them go. However, when he offered the ride to two students, a Mary Ann Pesk and Anita Lanesh, Lanchesa, I think that's how you say it, they would never make it to their destination. Their families reported them missing soon thereafter, but nothing would be known of their fates until August 15th, when a female head was discovered in the woods near Santa Cruz and was later identified as Pesk's. However, the other girl's remains were never found. Kemper would later explain that he stabbed and strangled Pesk before stabbing Lanchesa as well. After the murders, he brought the bodies back to his apartment and removed their heads and hands and reportedly performed sexual activity on their corpses. That's so disgusting.
Yeah, nasty.
Nasty. Later that year, on September 14, 1972, Kemper picked up 15-year-old Eiko Ku, who had decided to hitchhike rather than wait for a bus to take her to a dance class. She would meet the same fate as the other two girls. In January 1973, Kemper continued to act on his murderous impulses, picking up hitchhiker Cindy Shaw, whom he shot and killed. While his mother was out, Kemper went to her home and hid Shaw's body in his room. He dismembered her corpse there the following day and threw the parts into the ocean. Okay. Several parts were later discovered when they washed up ashore. He buried her head in the mother's back garden. Guys, if my son buries a head in my back garden, go to jail. It's fine. I'll send you some biscuits every once in a while.
Wow.
Don't care. On February 5th, 1973, Kemper used a campus parking sticker his mother had given to him to facilitate a double murder. He drove to the university where he offered a ride to two students, Rosalind Thorpe and Alice Liu. Shortly after picking them up, he shot the two young women, then drove past the campus security at the gate with the two mortally wounded women in the car. After the murders, Kemper decapitated the two victims and further dismembered the bodies, removed the bullets from their heads, and disposed of their parts in different locations. In March, some of Thorpe's and Liu's remains were discovered by hikers near Highway 1 in San Mateo County. At the time of Kemper's murders, two other serial killers, John Lindley Fraser and Herbert Mullins, were also committing their own crimes in the area. Imagine having three serial killers at once. You would move so fast. I'd move so fast. This actually resulted in the Santa Cruz receiving the nickname of the murder capital of the world in the press.
Yeah.
For Kemper's part, he was dubbed the co-ed killer and the co-ed butcher. Now, in April 1973, Kemper committed what would be his last two murders. On Good Friday, he went to his mother's home where the two had an unpleasant exchange. Kemper attacked his mother after she went to sleep, first striking her in the head with a hammer and then cutting her throat with a knife. As he had with his other victims, he then decapitated her and cut off her hands, then also removed her larynx and put it down the garbage disposal. What's a larynx?
I've heard of this before. I just can't.
What part?
Larynx. I think it's somewhere near the throat area. Is it a throat?
It is your throat.
Yes.
So you ripped it out and put it down the garbage disposal. Eish, that's a lot. Maybe he was tired of her talking. I'm kidding. After hiding his mother's body parts, Kemper called his mother's friend Sally Hallett and invited her over to the house. Kemper strangled Hallett shortly after she arrived and hid her body in the closet. Kemper fled the area the next day, driving east until he reached Colorado, where on April 23rd he made a call to the Santa Cruz police to confess to his crimes. At first they did not believe that the guy that was speaking was that they knew, because he used to he used to do work with them.
Yeah.
Big Ed was the killer, but during subsequent interrogations he would lead them to all the evidence they needed to prove he was the co-ed killer. Charged with 8 counts of first degree murder, Kemper went on trial for his crimes in October 1973. He was found guilty of all charges in early November, and when asked by the judge what he thought of his punishment, Kemper said that he should be tortured to death.
Okay, this guy's crazy.
Well, he played gas chamber as a child, so... He instead received 8 concurrent life sentences. At present, Kemper is serving his time at California Medical Facility in Vacaville. I feel like he was really messed up in the head.
Definitely.
You know, like Joker, Batman messed up in the head. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
I don't know. I just have this thing. Like, trust me, I'm not a bad person, but when you say the Joker's name, oh my gosh. It's just something that like rises inside of me.
No, I'm not gonna lie, the Joker's one of my favorite characters of all time in storytelling.
Like the last Joker with that actor, what's
Joaquin
his name?
Phoenix.
No.
Heath Ledger.
Yes.
The one who killed himself.
Yes.
Because the role was so intense. Okay.
Wasn't that the last Joker? Am I wrong?
No, then it was Joaquin Phoenix.
Which Joker was that?
The one who got the Joker movie. Was Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay.
Heath Ledger's in the Dark Knight.
No. Okay, not that one. So that Joaquin Phoenix dude. That one, that movie, I loved it. I don't know what everybody else said about that, but there's just something about it.
They're busy filming the second one, and Lady Gaga's playing Harley Quinn.
I don't want to watch it anymore.
No, for me, I'm just always so intrigued because what was done to him at such a young age? That he was that messed up by 10. Do you get
by
what
10,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, by 10 he was killing animals and
he must have seen some really
like,
messed up things. Or maybe it was just one of those cases where he was in an environment where he wasn't necessarily guarded or guided.
Well, his mom abused him.
Oh,
and was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
So, I mean, locking your kid away in the basement.
It's probably one of those cases because,
you know,
as you said, his mom abused him. So he thought pain is life.
No, but not even that. Do you know, when he gets locked in the basement, right? His mom is telling him, oh, you're a threat to your sisters. Hitler said this, and it's the only time I quote Hitler. Tell a lie often enough and people will believe it. So if you're told at 10 your whole life, you're going to hurt your sisters, we've got to lock you away, you're going to hurt your sisters, you're so bad. You're going to believe it. That's going to basically brainwash you into having murderous tendencies. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
It's like telling your child, oh, you're such a failure. And then being mad at them when they fail math. Like, what? So I feel like that would have definitely had a role to blocking a kid in a room. I mean, that's psychologically traumatic.
Yep.
I mean, that's another level. But yeah, the also that like whole gas chamber game, I've actually never read of anything so like disturbing for a kid to be playing that. He must be still alive. Or 1948, yeah, because my grand's still alive. 75.
What about 75?
He's 75 years old.
So he is still alive. Okay, and in prison.
Yeah. Well, he got, I think they said 8 concurrent. What was it? Was it 8? Yeah, 8 concurrent life sentences. So what? That's 8 times 15 years. That's a long time to serve in prison.
Yeah.
What is 8 times 15? I don't even know what that is. 120 years. A long time.
Definitely not making it out.
No, are you mad? Where's he going? Man's going to die there.
Yeah.
This is what he looked like. You can see he's a giant.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, okay, I'm not even going to lie. I don't know. Maybe this is just because I'm raised in South Africa, but I would never get into a car with a man. I don't know. Never. Never. You couldn't pay me. On the side of the road, a man but in a again, car drives up to you and is like, get in. Do you need a ride? I'm like, no, thanks.
Usually when people find themselves in situations like that, now not all the time, but I believe it's also when you're like up to no good or in the wrong place that you're not supposed
to
be.
Well, the one
in.
Girl was walking to her dance lesson.
Carry on walking.
Yeah, I know. Why are you getting in the car?
You're walking anyway.
I don't understand the whole thing of like hitchhiking. I don't know. Again, maybe it's because I was raised here.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there are times of like, you know, desperate times. Maybe, I don't know, you just happen to be stranded or you
but
really
I mean,
need
also,
to get somewhere.
If I saw this guy, because he really does look, just Google a picture of him. He really is a giant. I wouldn't feel comfortable getting in the car with him, even with another girl. I just, maybe it's just the mentality of growing up where I did. It's just, for me, it's like red flags. Beep, 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 alarm bells.
Yeah.
It's fine. I wonder what he's got two sisters. I wonder what they think. That must be so weird. Like, how do you have family? Yeah, I have a sister, I have a brother. Oh, what do they do? The one was a serial killer. That's bloody messed up.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it's messed up. But yes, that is all for the show. Edmund Kemper, the co-ed killer. I want a co-ed. Where did that come from? Co-ed. Because co-ed in South Africa means co-education, which is a girl and boy school, but he only killed females.
I'm wondering if it has nothing to do with his name, because his name is Edmund.
But they wouldn't have known his name until they caught him.
Yeah.
But they called him the co-ed killer before they caught him.
Mm.
As in the media gave him that name.
Yeah.
How did the co-ed killer get his name? Let's see if Google has an answer. He was called the co-ed killer because the majority of his prey were college students. College education.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
What? He had an IQ of 136.
Is that very high?
He was given another IQ test, which produced 145. Let me just get Einstein's IQ so we can compare. They said he had a high IQ, though.
Yep.
Einstein, if I can spell Einstein. I'm no Einstein. Okay, Einstein was 160, and he's 145, which is not far off. I don't even know what's the average person's IQ.
Yeah, interesting.
Average person's IQ. The average person scores at about a 90. So 145 is very high.
Yeah, but again, time and time again, show after show, we've come to realize that a lot of these people doing
these
crimes,
they have IQs, yeah. It's the high IQ with the that unable to have social skills,
yeah,
that becomes the mess that it does. In some cases, you get Sheldon from Big Bang Theory, and in other cases, you get Edmund Kemper and serial killers.
Yeah.
So, but yes, that is all for the show. We hope you enjoyed. Otherwise, have a good week, and we will see you same time, same place next week. Goodbye.
Cool.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.